Ahoy, mateys! And welcome to Game Buoy, the place where you can come for gaming news that is probably not on your radar, but definitely should be. With you as always, I'm Captain Spike. With me is my first mate, Slagkick.
Yarr!
He sounds kind of like a constipated dog.
Fuck you!
And this week, we are doing
Game Buoy's first annual E3
Blowout!
It's only funny when I do it. So, this is sort of an interesting episode. You know, we're actually going to be discussing a lot of quote-unquote mainstream news this week. And our main focus really is going to be on the news. We do have one of our discussion topics, as always. But really, the focus of this week's episode is all the cool new shit that we've seen through the media.
Yeah, there was some sort of an event happening this past week, wasn't there?
We already said it was our E3 blowout.
Shut up.
But, you know, before we get to the cool stuff, we have, you know, as always, a few of our follow-up topics.
Yeah, over on Kotaku, we actually saw some news for once.
Oh my god, no dung?
No, I don't think there was any dung this time, but 38 studios are saved. Epic actually bought them out. They did not buy the Emulor IP, because, you know, they aren't interested in that, but they didn't want to give these employees a new home, so that's a happy ending for that story, so.
Yeah, I'm really glad, because, you know, we discussed how 38 studios unfortunately had, you know, gone under, and a lot of people were losing their jobs, and that was, you know, obviously very sad. So it's cool that Epic has stepped in. You know, I give Epic a lot of flack because I'm not super into the whole Unreal Engine thing, and I kind of side with Silicon Knights on that whole lawsuit thing. But to their credit, this is a good thing that Epic did.
I agree. And, you know, we saw the Twitter fans kind of rallying behind the studio, too. So it's a happy ending for one studio that seemed like, you know, was going to be doomed.
Yeah, yeah. You know, another thing, another follow-up topic, is that Castlevania for 3DS was finally shown publicly. As, you know, as we knew that it was going to be, but it actually, surprisingly, looks kind of like a Metroidvania-style game with sort of God of War Castlevania-style elements added.
I am down for that.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of interested. But actually, I think maybe we're going to talk a little bit more about this in 15 seconds. Because you know what time it is?
It's time for
news. Oh my god, news.
Yeah. So, Castlevania 3DS, playable character, it looks like, in Alucard. And I have to say, you know, it's still using the character designs by Mercury Steam, the people who did the 3D God of War clone-style Castlevania game, but their character design for Alucard actually looks quite good. While we're on the topic of 3DS, I want to talk about Nintendo's second conference. Did you watch the second conference?
You know, I didn't actually get a chance to. I tried to catch up on the news, but I wasn't able to really catch anything live this year, which really kind of sucked.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, you didn't miss much. They mostly showed gameplay footage and live demo of games that had already been announced. It kind of made me feel like, why are you having a whole event for this? Like, people are going out of their way to live stream you explaining the basic game mechanics of Castlevania? Like, we get it. You jump and hit things with the whip.
Whip.
Cool whip. One interesting thing is that about 20 minutes after the second conference, one of Kotaku's editors cornered Reggie Fiami, I think you pronounce his name, I'm not sure about that though, kind of cornered him and asked him if Fire Emblem Awakening was going to be coming to the U.S. And surprisingly, Reggie said yes. So, you know, this gentleman asked him again, like, wait, are you sure you know what I'm talking about? And Reggie was like, yeah, Fire Emblem's coming here. I think it's in the press materials. So it was not in the press materials that they put out for that conference, but Nintendo of America's online official online Twitter then tweeted that Fire Emblem is definitely coming out here, and that we just need to wait to hear more details.
Cool. I know a couple people who will be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm stoked. And, you know, it kind of fits with Nintendo's policy of the last few years not to show games up until, like, the quarter before they come out. So if they're not planning on doing Fire Emblem in the next few months, it makes sense for why they wouldn't show it, I guess. Maybe that'll be sort of, you know, like, maybe January or February of next year.
Lots of exciting news, because I think ever since, was it Smash Melee that the Fire Emblem characters first showed up? Yeah, it would have had to have been, because 64 kind of had a limited cast. But, I mean, I think a lot of the Western fan base really took to those characters, so kind of led to a resurgence of interest in that series.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we talked about this on one of our previous episodes, but it was interesting to me that one of the 3DS ambassador titles for free download was the GBA version, one of the GBA Fire Emblem games. So there's definitely like an undercurrent of excitement for this franchise among US fans. But I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I think probably Radio Land out there would like to know what we think about Nintendo's press conference. And probably more specifically about what we think about the Wii U. So why don't you start us off on that?
The Wii U's a pile of dung. No, no. You know, I know a lot of peeps out there were kind of found the Nintendo conference very underwhelming this year. You know, there wasn't a huge surprise announcement at the end. And, you know, they're like, oh, it's just Nintendo Land. But, you know, I already mentioned before that I am already sold on the Wii U, but I'm even more excited now. You know, and maybe I am on a different wavelength than some gamers out there, but I don't know. I think that what Nintendo's doing is more exciting than anything we heard from any of the other keynotes this year.
Well, you know, certainly I agree. I'm really excited for sort of, and Nintendo did a whole bit on this during their conference, but I'm really into asymmetrical game design. I love when you have people competing with sort of different capabilities within the game to sort of achieve different goals. I find that very desirable, because to me it's a more interesting way to play. As long as you're rotating positions, the game keeps interesting longer, because people, you know, since they're doing different things every game, it takes longer for it to wear out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's thinking outside the box. Or as they say at Taco Bell, thinking outside the bun. I want some Taco Bell now. But
no, a bitch did.
You know, I agree, because I've been just, like, the nerdy fanboy in me has been like, oh, I wonder how they're going to apply that to Smash Brothers, or how they're going to apply that to Mario Kart. And I mean, those are just, you know, first-party titles. So, I mean, to think of, like, what other developers might be inspired to do. I mean, we kind of talked last time about that we didn't see third parties do as much with the motion controls for Wii as we had maybe hoped. And, you know, it's interesting, I kind of saw that reflected in some of the news this past week as they've been looking back at the Wii and forward to the Wii U. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it'll kind of push developers to really think of how that tech can be used and how the philosophy of the Wii U can be applied to their games.
Yeah. Well, you know, they showed Pikmin 3, and I'm really, really excited for that game. And it occurs to me, you know, Nintendo has sort of always referred to Pikmin as their take on sort of the real-time strategy genre as far as unit management and resource management, and it occurred to me that with the little touch screen on your controller that displays a world map, and you can, you know, touch the screen to zoom the camera to any part of the map that you know, want it to focus on immediately, that's actually going to add a whole nother level of sort of tactical precision to that game. So I'm actually really quite excited about even the most simple of potential applications for this new device. I think could really impact sort of the layers of complexity that are involved in these games.
And you know what was really interesting is that, you know, it wasn't, this isn't specifically about the keynote, but you saw the video that Iwata did on the Sunday before E3, right?
Of course, with the Miiverse.
Yes, where Miiverse was introduced, and you know, this where they were talking about, you know, that, and they emphasized this kind of throughout the week, I feel, that, you know, that one of the things that they thought was successful about the Wii is that it brought gamers together, and that's what we had been talking about last time, that some of our most treasured moments with the Wii were when we were playing with friends, and I think the fact that they're trying to improve that even with their, you know, together better slogan sort of thing, yeah. I'm really excited to see, you know, because I was saying even, like, you know, people are like, oh, it's going to just be games for families. Like, who cares? Like, if there's, like, a Pictionary game or something similar to that that could use the gamepad, I think that would be super cool, so.
Oh, yeah, most def.
I mean, because it's about having fun. It's not always got to be about, hey, bro.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big online gamer as far as console games. I really prefer to play console games in the same room as my buddies. So, I love the fact that Nintendo seems intent on pushing that forward.
But, you know, I actually bring up another point. I'm really interested in how they're approaching the whole Miiverse thing. And, like, oh, you know, you can have a little, like, thought bubbles pop up, like, with hints and help. And kind of making it into, like, social gaming that way.
Well, you know, they did a similar system to that in Demon's Souls for the PS3.
I remember, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool, that sort of asynchronous multiplayer. So, I'm eager to see that sort of interaction in Mario Brothers, you know, New Mario Brothers U, where, you know, if there's somewhere where I know you're gonna die, I'm gonna leave you a troll note. I'm gonna be like, lol, dead. And it's gonna be cool. I mean, I'm gonna have a great time with that.
Now, I have a question for you. What are your feelings on Nintendo Land? I know a lot of people have been laughing about it, you know, kind of being like, oh, this is what they're closing their conference out with.
You know, I thought it was a little silly in terms of presentation. Like, oh, it's a amusement park for your Miis to go on rides, on Nintendo rides.
And then, you know, on top of that, the Roundtable conference was pretty much heavily focused on Nintendo Land as well.
Well, but that Roundtable is what actually got me really excited for the game, because, you know, they started showing, like, the F-Zero attraction, which is basically like an F-Zero track with F-Zero music. It's basically a mini F-Zero. Like, that's awesome. I love it. I want to play that.
Yeah, and it almost seems like they're kind of, maybe using Nintendo Land as a testing ground for, like, wow, we got a great response for the F-Zero attraction. We're going to make a new F-Zero game.
Well, plus, you know, I think it's a great way to sort of cross-pollinate their franchises. You know, you think about, like, all the soccer moms and families that, you know, bought a Wii and are now going to see the Wii U, and some of them at least. Certainly I've had calls from non-gamers in my family who have asked me for more information about the Wii U already. So I think some of these casual, quote-unquote casuals, are going to pick this device up, you know, this console. They're going to play Nintendo Land. They're going to get excited for Mario and Zelda, but they're also going to learn a little bit about Metroid and F-Zero. And, you know, if even just one or two people get into those franchises that weren't already interested, I can't see how Nintendo Land could be anything but a success.
And, you know, like, the whole thing about, oh, well, they said that they're supposed to be paying more attention to the core gamers or whatever. Well, like, hello, if they can build a bit stronger buzz for F-Zero and, like, some of these other franchises, then that benefits everyone.
Yeah, because, like, plus, and I hate to cut you off, but something on that point that I feel really strongly about is that Nintendo is the only, and this sort of harkens to sort of the point of Nintendo's conference specifically, but of the big three keynotes, they're the only one that talked about game design during their conference.
Yeah.
They talked about the thought process that goes into creating games and what these games are attempting to do. That's the kind of company Nintendo is. I appreciate that some people want big, flashy graphics and first-person shooters because somehow those things appeal to the core gamer. But to me, maybe the fact that Nintendo focused on real games that are going to, you know, presumably be well-designed and fun to play, like, maybe that needs to count for something.
You know, I think what Nintendo does is healthy for the industry, like, overall. What happened when Wii came out? Oh, we eventually saw the PlayStation Move, which, I mean, I guess I've never even used one because, you know, I don't really have much of an interest in PlayStation 3, but
it's like a more accurate Wiimote.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I've heard it's pretty legit. Kinect is great. You know, I'm not going to lie. I love Kinect. I think that what they've accomplished is really, really cool. But, I mean, let's face it. Wii was the one to say, hey, we're going to try and add some motion control into this. I mean, sure, you had the 6-axis with PS3, but come on, let's be real.
No, no, even Sony doesn't really count that.
So, I mean, and again, what we're seeing is that Nintendo is the one who's kind of innovating and really thinking outside the box, and then, you know, Microsoft and Sony might copy it, might be successful, and I mean, we'll kind of get into that a little bit. What with Microsoft's doing with Smart Glass, but, you know, I think that if even if you aren't a fan of the Wii U or Nintendo in general, you have to at least acknowledge what they do for the industry and what they do in terms of game design, so.
So, focusing specifically on their press event, what did you think about their conference?
You know, I mean, I will agree with those who would say that it wasn't as exciting in terms of there wasn't any huge reveal. But, you know, I was just happy to learn more and see more, and just, I was, you know, starting to get excited that we're going to see the Wii U in a couple months. That really got me pumped for it. So, I mean, you know, we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have any really huge reveals this time, but, you know, not every E3 is going to have a huge thing. It's like kind of like, you know, they had a focus this year of really showcasing the different things the Wii U did, and you know, I definitely don't think we're owed any sort of, you know, big, by the way, here's Zelda cart or something. By the way, Nintendo developers, if you're out there, I would play a Zelda cart.
Yeah, no, me too.
Or even if it was like Goron Racing, where you roll up into a ball, or Epona Racing.
I think I'd rather just see a Goron cameo in the next Mario Kart.
I'd rather see a Goron cameo in the next 3D Mario platformer.
Isn't that what the Piantas basically are, though?
True.
They're like big multicolored Gorons with big noses.
That's true.
Let's see. Okay, so Nintendo conference. You know, I felt like they really, I get why they did it, I suppose, but I felt like it was silly that they had like 15 minutes, it felt like, dedicated to Batman Arkham City, which most of us that want to play that have already played it. When there were, like, phenomenal games like Platinum's new game, P100, that didn't get shown at their conference at all and had to be talked about in other avenues.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a little bit of a weak point, I think. But, I mean, maybe that was kind of like, hey, core gamers, look, and we have the Pro Pad or whatever that looks like a 360 controller, which I don't even give a damn. I'm going to get one of those anyway.
I'm going to probably buy, like, 4 for every, so when people come over, they can use them.
And then I will bring my gamepad over. Anyway.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a little bit, but I mean, I guess maybe they kind of wanted to be, you know, like you said, you understand why. And, you know, maybe they just kind of were like, hey, look, we have, you know, Mass Effect 3 coming out.
That was surprising as well. I'm actually a little surprised about that.
I am, okay, because we know how much of a Mass Effect fan I am. I'm excited about, oh my god, if you could switch weapons on the gamepad, you don't even have to really pause. You can just be like, boop.
Yeah, that would actually be cool if you didn't have to pause to give
the Wiimote to shoot. I am excited. And maybe like one of the buttons on the nunchuck controller to duck. Oh, I'm excited. I really hope that unless they plan on doing some sort of like DLC like they did for the PlayStation 3 where you can like...
Well, I was just going to say, they would almost certainly have to do like a new digital comic version of Mass Effect 2.
I would rather them just bring the whole trilogy over to Wii U.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I would buy all of those games again. But I think I'd rather have a digital comic version of Mass Effect 2. Just so that, you know, if I just want to jump into Mass Effect 3, I could do that. That would be great.
That's true. And, you know, if the timing is right, they might just be able to ship it with the
new ending.
The new ending. So, I mean, that might be cool. I'm not gonna lie to myself. I'm not gonna wait until the Wii U comes out to play that. But, you know,
what if it's day and date, though? What if it comes out on the same day?
You know, that's a good question, but I guess the bottom line is that, you know, that we are seeing some exciting things. Assassin's Creed 3 is going to be out for, am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've heard anything about the rest of the trilogy, but, you know, just interesting to see some of these franchises that we're pretty big fans of coming to the Wii U. It's like, because, you know, before Nintendo always got passed up. And, you know, sure, maybe in a couple years when the next Xbox 720 or the PlayStation 4 comes out, it's going to happen again. But, you know, I'm excited to see how Assassin's Creed would play on a Wii U, how Mass Effect would play on a Wii U, so...
Yeah, and you know what? Let's not forget Darksiders 2.
Yeah, which they did mention, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll probably end up buying all of these games on Wii U instead of Xbox and PlayStation. Like, as long as they come out without too long of a delay between them.
Right. And, I mean, you know, as far as Mass Effect goes, I still prefer it on PC, but I'm really interested to see what it looks like on Xbox. I'm not on Xbox, on Wii U.
I was gonna say, you could just go rent that.
I didn't really care for Mass Effect on the Xbox too much. I connected with it more when I played it on Steam. So, you know, the fact that Wii U might bring a little bit of a different twist to it. I mean, maybe not. Maybe they'll just use their Pro Pad or whatever.
I hope
their Maxi Pad.
I hope they make use of the individual strengths of the platform. That would be nice.
Yeah, and I mean, but as far as the conference goes, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Arkham Asylum was cool. I played a little bit of it. I intend to play Arkham City at some point, maybe on the Wii U, but to focus that much on that title, I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
Kind of like, more Nintendo.
Well, pretty much. I feel like, me want Nintendo. So, I wanted to ask, did you see any of the coverage of P100?
No, I didn't, but I mean, heard a few details about it.
It's basically like Pikmin, but with an action game focus and Sentai superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I was just focusing on was like, oh my god, they're making another Platinum game, and we're gonna get it over here.
Yeah, right? And I'm so happy to see Nintendo publishing this new IP of Platinums, because Sega has not treated Platinum well. Platinum, you know, obviously these guys have a storied history. I feel like we talk about them every issue of this,
as they're awesome
podcast. Yeah, no, they're definitely my favorite studio out there. So, I feel really good about the fact that they're finally being published by, like, a big-name company that gets game design and why game design is important.
And, you know, my thoughts are, if P100 sells well, then, hey, maybe Bayonetta 2 will be a Wii U exclusive.
Well, you know, Sega, as we've discussed...
With a Wii Fit Balance Board mini-game. I'm not gonna give up on that.
This bitch. You know, and obviously that would have to be worked out with Sega. They're, you know, who owns the IP details. But just getting more games from Platinum, really. For me, that would really be ideal.
That's true, because we don't want to see them suffer the same fate as... I don't want to ever see any studio suffer the fate that some of these studios have, but, I mean, especially Platinum.
Yeah, that would hurt my heart. I'll be honest. I would be upset about that.
I think if Platinum and Grasshopper had to shut their doors, it would be a very, very dire outlook for the gaming world.
Speaking of Grasshopper, for everyone out there in Radioland listening to us, as this is a new episode, Lollipop Chainsaw comes out Tuesday.
That's kind of why I was mentioning Grasshopper, because I am super excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
It's not necessarily like a, ooh, E3 news, but I, you know, it's kind of a current thought on my mind. So, yeah. I mean,
if you're listening to this podcast, probably that game is either going to be out in the next day or two, or it just came out. So you need to go pick that up, well, if you like that sort of game. If you don't, that's okay too. I just question your taste.
Yeah, I mean, I have talked about my love for No More Heroes, and, you know, this looks to be, like, it's going to be pretty good. I think a lot of people are excited about it. And, you know, with the badass girl focus, I think a lot of even straight dudes are kind of interested in checking it out. But, I mean, I think a lot of straight dudes liked No More Heroes, too.
Yeah, so I hope so.
I like that Grasshopper games seem to have a wide appeal. Like, we gay dudes get into it because we're like, fuck yeah. And then, you know, the straight dudes are like, cool, I get to kill shit. You know, I don't know. But yeah, excited about that. Back to E3, though.
Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft. Okay, I'm being a little bit of a bitch.
So, Microsoft's press event. In one word, what did you think?
Smart glass.
Compound words don't work.
That's one word. Smart glass.
Oh, I suppose.
Smart glass.
Well, what do you think of smart glass?
It's all right. I think that, you know...
Do you watch Game of Thrones? Are you going to use it to help you remember the names of different characters?
No.
You know, I kind of felt, as I was watching that, like, do people really have that problem watching that show?
Well, I mean, in season 2 they did change a lot, so, I mean, maybe it would give a little, like, by the way, this is what happened in the book, but, I mean, I don't know. You know, I appreciate that, you know, they're trying to think about ways to, and I think theirs is a lot more media focused. You mentioned Game of Thrones, but, you know, I don't think that, gameplay-wise, you know, they talked about, oh, with Madden or whatever, you can, call a play with your iPad or your iPhone, and you're like, oh, you don't need a specific gamepad for it, but,
No, you just need a $500 iOS device.
Right? Or a shitty Android. Or ideally, they would want you to have a Windows phone. That's what they would ideally want you to do.
So if you're one of the 20 people out there that have Windows phones, celebrate.
I would probably, at this point, rather have a Windows phone than an Android. Let me just say that.
But well, that's because you had an Android that shit the bed. I had
so
an
did
Android.
You.
Yes, no, I also had an Android that shit the bed, but... I know people who had some of the good model Android phones who are very happy with it, and that's very cool.
And, you know, speaking of smart glass, you had linked me to a post on GAF that we will go ahead and put up on our website. What's that website?
GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. And I really liked what one of the posters, Davidion, had posted. You know, he said that it's more branding than substance and requires a tie-in to the Xbox Live ecosystem. There's a little potential for cross-device synergy because the different pieces of hardware aren't standardized, and there's no guarantee that others will have them. And so, you know, I thought that was a really interesting point, you know, because, and it made me kind of think of, you know, speaking of Android phones, like the fragmentation of that. I mean, like, what if the Android app for Smart Glass is a piece of crap? I mean, it's not going to be a consistent experience like you're going to get with the gamepad. So,
well, you know, and it's something that's interesting to me, is that I really wonder how many applications we're going to see developed for Smart Glass. As opposed, and I'm gonna contrast this specifically to the Wii U's gamepad, because it's an easy contrast. I think a lot of gaming writers have earned their dollars this week making that contrast. But I feel like there's no real incentive for developers to take Smart Glass into account, because you can't even assume that more than a fraction of your player base is going to have these devices on hand to sync to your game. As opposed to a Wii U gamepad, where you know anyone who's playing your game on this console has one.
Right.
So, just from, you know, sort of the perspective of development and actual product you'll be able to purchase, I'm very concerned that this is one of those things that we'll see a wave of games come out to support, and then we'll never see it again.
Yeah, and I mean, I know they're trying to focus more on media, but, I mean, the thing is that if you want to just focus on media, Xbox, or, you know, Microsoft, then just go start making gaming PCs. Go into the PC. I mean, maybe they're reluctant to do that. That might be a conversation for an entirely different kind of podcast. But, you know, that's basically what the Xbox 360 is turning into, is a glorified media center PC.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I mean, we had an interesting conversation the other night about the original Xbox kind of being a glorified PC, and how that kind of, impacted next-gen development, you know, so I don't know, like, I appreciate, like, you know, I like my 360, I love Kinect, I really am excited to see more development with that, and, you know, Kinect 2, or whatever we're gonna see in the future, but, you know, Smart Glass,
you know, it's probably good for Microsoft to get their foot in the door, because I'm sure their next-gen console will have some kind of device on it. You know, some sort of view screen.
Maybe they'll ship it with a Windows phone.
Right. Or a controller using the Windows Phone IS on its touch screen or whatever. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about the games that were shown during Microsoft's press event. I know a lot of people are excited for this new Gears of War game, and so that's cool. It's not really my thing, though.
Halo.
Oh, they did. They showed Halo. But again, I'm not. That is just.
Yeah, I'm not really a Halo fan. I've had fun with Halo 3 and, you know, Halo 2, and I didn't really play much of the original Halo, but, you know, I had some fun with Halo 2 and 3. I'm horrible at FPS, so.
You know, I did my time with those games, but after ODST and then Reach, I think I'm out. I think that was.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, that considering that Microsoft took over the IP, blah, 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 blah. That it looks pretty decent. But, you know, that's cool. That's cool, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, by all means, it looks like a great sequel. But it's a sequel to a game that I'm not really interested in.
Do you know what my favorite part of the Halo franchise was?
What's that?
The Mountain Dew.
Chug and charge.
Chug and charge, bitch.
So, okay, well, what did you think about Sony's press conference?
I was thinking a page from the Kotaku book.
Oh, I wish you hadn't done that. I guess that would be your one word. P-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-T.
Yeah. Get out of a fleshing sound effect, too, if you'd like.
Man, we are with the ranks of Kotaku. I was really, I mean, I just laughed all through Sony's conference, basically.
Wonderbook!
They showed off, you know, Assassin's Creed 3, which was cool. I'm really excited for that game. Except Ubisoft's show an hour earlier had like 20 minutes of Assassin's Creed. So I was to the point where I was like, okay, guys, enough of the fucking Assassin's Creed.
I do have to say that Sony might have convinced me to buy a Vita with the bundle that's going to come
with
the
Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that looks like a great little game, the Vita Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, like, Wonder Book, cute, the J.K. Rowling's Book of Spells, cute, but, you know, like, if you buy it, I might play it, but I mean, it's not gonna make me go out and get a PS3.
I don't see myself buying that.
Or, you know, pay $100 to get mine repaired or whatever.
So, I did want to ask, you know, I heard a lot of people really raving about this game that Sony closed their event with, The Last of Us.
You know, I've heard a lot of people raving about Watch Dogs, or whatever that was called.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand why people are so excited for these games. They have, I mean, I guess they have great graphics, but it's like, I wouldn't celebrate when one of my buddies married a supermodel if she was, like, hideously dumb. That's what I feel like this industry is doing right now. Like, oh, these games are super pretty. They're all exactly the same, but they're pretty.
I'm waiting
and
for...
I'll be fair to Watch Dogs, which you brought up. I don't actually even know what kind of game that is yet. It almost looks like a Deus Ex clone. And that's cool. I mean, we did just play Deus Ex, but it was super good. So if you guys can bring it up like that, maybe I'm excited, but mostly I felt like I was being sold things based on being super pretty.
You know, with Sony, I just can't help but wonder when, you know, like, Tom Clancy's got all his game series under his name, but, I'm wondering when Michael Bay's gonna go start just making, like, Michael Bay's Explosion.
Right? Explosion Man, brought to you by Michael Bay.
And just, like, oh, cool, this PS4 game has real explosions. That's just what I think of when I think of the PS3. And, I mean, I don't know. I probably have a lot of personal bias because mine stopped working. And, I mean, you know, that's about as silly as saying, oh, I hate 360 because mine red ringed. But it's not just about that. It's just that...
I know some people who feel that way.
But, I mean, that's my... My qualms with Sony go deeper. You had warned me years ago when I bought my PS3. Because I got a PS3 before I got a 360. You're like, bro, you're making a big mistake. And, you know, I really think that out of every console purchase or whatever, or handheld purchase that I've ever made, the PS3 is probably the only one that I actually regret. Like, I do not regret buying a 3DS at launch. I do not regret buying a GameCube when there were only a couple of games out at the time. I think I regret spending a couple $100 on a PS3.
To me, that's a very telling statement.
And, I mean, the interesting thing is that I think that they've actually done better. I mean, I know the PSP was kind of a failure. I mean, in the larger scope of things.
Well, you know, I think the thing with the PSP is, I mean, it moved quite a large number of hardware units. It really did. But the software numbers were so just depressingly low.
The thing that's ironic, though, is that I can't think of 5 titles exclusive to PS3 that interest me.
Oh, PS3. I thought you were going to say PSP. I was going to be like, girl.
No, but that leads me to my point. The one day that we went to GameStop shortly after I had gotten my PSP, and I'm like, wow, there are like 5 PSP games that I am interested in. And, you know, the Vita I'm kind of interested in as well. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting when their handheld offerings are more interesting, and I mean, I don't know. I think it's just more of for Sony for me. I really feel like they don't get it. It's like Nintendo comes out with their thing, and cool. Microsoft does something similar but a little different. cool. And then Sony's like, hey guys, we can do that too. And it's like, I don't know. And I mean, there's just a lot. I mean, you're gonna have to stop me before I get into a Sony rant, but you know, there's a lot of people who...
I think you already have.
There's a lot of people who have beef with the PS2 for basically being the Dreamcast killer, so I mean...
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, so, you know, I just... I don't know. I just...
You know, I'm gonna put my foot in my mouth here for a second. Did you watch the Final Fantasy Next Generation Engine trailer?
No, I did not get a chance to see that, but... Speaking of things that could make me want to fix or buy a new one.
It looks so good. If they could bring me a game that looked like that, but played like a real Japanese RPG with, like, you know, a turn-based system and requires tactical, strategic thought, I would die of happiness.
I mean, honestly, I always felt like Square, and now Square Enix, is... really been the only person, the only company, back up, you know, I really feel like Square Enix, or, you know, back in the day, Square, they were the only ones who really were doing things that interested me on Sony consoles, and now that, you know, we're seeing a little bit of branching out, where they're not totally ruling out Nintendo. And, you know, we had Final Fantasy 13. I had to think about the numbering for a minute. It's getting to be too many. I'm like, no, wait, 14 was the MMO that was a failure.
Yeah, 14 was the MMO.
You know, the 13 and 13.2... we're on the 360, so, you know. That said, I think...
And 13.2, just as a sidebar, I recently picked it back up. What a great game.
Yeah, the reason that I got a PlayStation 1 in the first place, and then the PlayStation 2, was to play Final Fantasy games, pretty much. And that's why I got a PS3 back in the day. And you're like, dude... Versus 13 is not going to come out for, like, 7 years, because this was, like, back in, like, 2007 or so.
Yeah, and horribly, it looks like that's going to come to pass.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
You know, I held off on PS1 for many years. Well, not many years, but for a year or two. I didn't really jump into the PS1 boat until Final Fantasy Tactics came out. That was the game that I was like, yep. Final Fantasy VII looks like crap, but I'm in for Tactics.
So it sounds like kind of a similar experience for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, although, Square Enix!
Don't cheer them for that. I mean, yeah, it's good that, you know, they got us into these new consoles, I guess, but, you know, the Dreamcast is dead, Sega is dead, so fuck you, Sony.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's Sony. What do you think about J.K. Rowling's Book of Spells, which is, I think, the only thing that was vaguely appealing to me at the Sony's conference?
I was watching a stream of that on my phone on the train in public, and I started laughing so hard that people thought there was something wrong with me. I was cackling on the train while watching that on my phone.
Wingardium Leviosa!
Guardian Leviosa.
Expecto Patronum. Okay, we're going to stop
that's
saying
enough Harry. Yeah, that's enough of that.
We're not a Harry Potter cast.
So is there anything we missed that you want to talk about? Anything you saw that you liked? Because I don't know how long we've been talking, but it feels like it's been a while. I want to start getting this moving on.
You know, there. Speaking of things coming out for Sony that I actually... kind of dig. What are your thoughts on Tokyo Jungle?
I cannot wait for it to come out.
Now, can you explain to our listeners, who may have no idea what the hell we're talking about, what Tokyo Jungle is?
I would, but I wouldn't know where to start.
when someone talks to me about Tokyo Jungle, the first thing that comes to my mind is a Pomeranian running around Tokyo fighting with other animals.
Well, that basically sounds like the best game of all time.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to put up a an article announcing that, because they just announced at E3 that Tokyo Jungle will be coming to North America, and you know, it's kind of this weird game where, you know, you're running around Tokyo. I think it's like post-apocalyptic, right?
I think so.
And, you know, so, like, there's just animals, like, fighting, and it looks super crazy, and, you know, I'm not going to fix my PS3 or buy a new one just for this title, but
it's a digital download.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll port it to Vita or something. I don't know.
There's actually been a lot of talk about a Vita port of that game, so that's probably going to happen.
I would rather that happen than have to have an excuse to turn my PS3 on and do something with it. But
I can't even with this bitch. You're like, I regret buying this, but then you're like, I don't want to use it.
Because it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't need... The disk drive doesn't need to work for a download game.
I don't want to use it for downloading games. Meh. But I think, you know, you were talking about Wii U and their approach to gaming design, and you had highlighted a little blurb from this article, which will be up on our website. What's that website again?
GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. We're reversing that role today.
We are today.
It was from one of the guys from Sony, I think, or, you know, who's developing this? Worldwide Studios, I'm sorry. So it's a guy from Worldwide, and he said, it'll ship here, it'll ship everywhere. To him, Tokyo Jungle's worldwide release is emblematic of Sony's crazy innovative approach. That game is just wacky, but in a good way, because we like to show that there's still an art form and you can still experiment. Is everyone going to love a game like Tokyo Jungle? Absolutely not, but there's a whole bunch of people it's going to make really happy. Specifically for the fact that it's so different and so unexpected. So I thought, you know...
Yeah, they get mad props from me on that. Sony Worldwide Studios gets huge credit from me for really coming out and saying, okay, this game isn't for everyone. That's okay. We don't have to try to appeal to everyone with every title.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're out there listening worldwide, please bring it to Vita, because I don't want to play it on PS3.
This bitch.
So, anything that you think that wasn't maybe mentioned quite as much in the press that we haven't talked about, that you just thought, wow, people aren't really picking up on this?
No, I wrote the outline of what we were going to be discussing today, so I made sure P100 got talked about.
Right.
That would be my pick here. I feel like everyone should be excited for Project
P100. Sorry, that was the worst pun ever.
It wasn't the worst, but it was bottom five. It was bottom
but
two.
But you are also excited for Pikmin 3,
right? It would be lip-syncing for its life.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course, I'm super excited for Pikmin 3. I love that series, but I think P100 looks better. I mean, not graphically, but that's okay. It looks like a way better game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I guess any last thoughts? Zombie U looks kind of cute. Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, Zombie U looks great. You know, there's one of the gameplay modes where the person with the Wii U pad actually has, like, a whole map of the stage, and they assign zombie hordes to specific areas against the multiplayers. I guess it would sort of be like being sort of the AI director in, like, a Left 4 Dead-style game.
I mean, and that, as far as an approach to gaming design, is, like, allowing the... I mean, you know, you can argue that Little Big Planet maybe kind of touched on, like, having the gamer as the creator, but, you know, I think that that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's almost like putting the player into a... almost like a dungeon master role.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's probably one of my most exciting things.
We need a return to the Dungeons & Dragons, those old arcade games that were so awesome. We need one, and then there could be a DM...
Yes, I just need a Dungeons & Dragons Wii U game, yes.
Yes. So,
I think that's it for...
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, I do have to say, before we wrap up our Oh My God news, that really cheesy video that was in the Sunday pre-E3 video that Iwata hosted with the guy doing the zombie you thing. Super cheesy.
Yeah, I laughed.
Super cheesy. So, that would be it, I think, right, for our...
News. Oh my God, news.
Yeah, well, we just played the bumper music again, so I guess that means that that's all for the news.
Yes.
But, you know, definitely, despite the fact that, you know, a lot of people thought that it was not one of the most exciting E3s of all time, you know, we still found things that we were looking forward to and, you know, things to talk about. If you think we missed anything significant, you can reach us on Twitter at GameBuoyPodcast@twitter.com.
GameBuoyPodcast@twitter.com.
Or you can find us on Facebook at... I need a drum roll, please. Do you have your Donkey Konga Kongos on you?
Donkey Konga.
Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
I don't know if Facebook changed their requirements for having a short URL, but I was on Facebook the other day, and it's like, oh, you can pick a name for your Facebook page. I'm like, GameBuoy. Awesome. And it was not taken by someone in Ohio, so...
Hooray!
We will be soliciting that again later, but yes.
Today's discussion topic, it's time for that. I've been trying to move us to it. It's time. We're going to keep this short. I feel like we're starting to run a little long. But I just want to talk about what E3 is all about these days. Because I feel like...
Booth babes.
No, that's what it used to be all about in, like, 98...
Those were some glorious days.
Oh, man. I tell you, you know, the one year I got to go to E3, that would have been 06, maybe? That was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. I can only imagine how good it was when there was just straight up, you know, well-endowed women bouncing about all over with video games in their hands. Like, that must have been pretty effing glorious.
Speaking of bigboobs.net, right?
No, don't start all that again. That's a real site. We found out last week, guys, that's a real site. Don't go there.
And just to be safe, I did a complete and full virus scan afterwards.
Did you?
Then I had to take a warm shower because,
Ew.
No, not a cold shower. Not a cold shower. I take a warm shower because I felt unclean and
I was disturbed. Like, girl, that's nasty. But what is E3 about these days? And, you know, to me, it's becoming increasingly apparent that E3 is no longer really an avenue, if it ever was, for companies to talk to us about what they want us to buy. I really feel that we're at the point now where this is the place where Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, Namco, Ubi, etc., they're really telling USA Today and other print periodicals and, you know, mainstream news sources, they're basically saying, oh, this is what your video game headlines over the next year are going to look like. You know, and you know, sure enough, after E3, I saw coverage of the Wii U in the paper in San Francisco, and I really feel like that's where the show is now. And I see a lot of people complaining, like, oh, why wasn't P100 in the Nintendo conference? I said it myself. Oh, why wasn't Fire Emblem in the conference? Again, I said it myself. But realistically, those aren't the kinds of games the mainstream media is going to run as a headline in their entertainment section or their electronics section.
You know, just to butt in really quick, I guess you have to almost give a little bit of props to Kotaku, of all people, for being like, hey, Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess good on them, gaming journalism.
I cannot speak high enough praise for Kotaku for really nailing that down by just jumping out there. In fact, I think they may get a reprieve on one of their LOLtakus this week for that. I really feel like they turned the tide of my opinion on them.
Temporarily. Until they make more dumb-related comments for a Wii U game, because you know it's coming.
It is. Oh, I'm sure. In fact, frankly, it's probably already happened. I've just been too busy to read every Kotaku post this week. We still have a great LOLtaku for you folks. But, you know, I just feel like the focus of E3 has changed. I feel like we're at the point now where it's primarily a tool to talk to sort of the big names in news, you know, your CNNs.
Yeah.
The Times, USA Today, and that's where, that's the kind of people that these shows are for now. It's not for those of us that want to see the new game directed by, you know, Hideki Kamiya, and want to hear about Nintendo's niche strategy
and
tactics.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of what PAX is for these days.
Well, it really is, and, you know, God bless, I can't say it enough, I feel like we praise them every week, but God bless those Penny Arcade guys for being the sort of positive change that we've needed to see in this industry.
Right, just a little side note, we really would have loved this year to be able to say, oh, we're going to be reporting live, except not really live, from PAX, but, you know, just too expensive for me this year.
Well, yeah, and it sold out super fast.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the thing that I think is interesting is that, you know, when they closed off E3 just to the industry, people in the gaming community raged about it. So then they're like, okay, well, we'll open it up a little bit more. But, you know, it's the thing is that, you know, they have opened it up a little bit more. Not to what it used to be, but, I mean, you know.
It was an unwieldy beast. The year I went there, it almost felt like I was at a comic book convention, honestly.
Oh, dear Lord.
It was cool. I had a great time. But it really felt more like a almost like a comic book conference than like a trade show where major companies were showing off important new products in the market.
Right, and you know, it's interesting because this makes me think of, I don't remember what year it was, but there was a GDC where Nintendo was talking about kind of the evolution of the Mii. And I have to say, I'm going to link this video, even though it's only tangentially related to our discussion here today, but it was interesting because, you know, talked about how, you know, Miyamoto had wanted to do something like the Mii all the way back to the NES days, like it evolved from that, but then people were complaining because they had just had to sit through an entire presentation about the Mii.
Yeah, but that's what Game Developers Conference is for. Like, this is not a media event. This isn't where you're going to get your hot new game teases and reveals.
Right, so I mean, I almost feel that E3 is kind of like somewhere in between GDC and PAX is kind of where it's at.
Well, yeah, to me it's more like the sales show. Like, it's not the art show that GDC is, where you're talking about sort of, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that go into making games and designing games and making, you know, compelling gameplay experiences that all of us as gamers, you know, enjoy the fruits of those pains. And GDC is to go to stuff related on that and go to talks about how those guys can improve to make better products for us. It is not a place where we get to hear about, oh my god, I'm so excited for the new Zelda that was just announced at GDC. No, that shouldn't happen.
Right, and I mean, I think I can appreciate that that's not exactly what E3 is anymore. I mean, it's, you know, there's still a little bit of that. You know, we're getting a little bit of highlights and, you know. But, I mean, I think the thing is that a lot of people were like, wow, Nintendo just shitted a big shitty conference out of their shitty buttholes into the shitter.
And it's like, no, dude, Nintendo just showed the media what they're going to be selling this year and basically made a statement of, you know, oh, this is why our stock prices should go up, because this is our plan for the next, our business plan for the next year.
Yeah, because when Wii U was first announced back a little bit, not exactly a year ago, it was a little bit over a year ago, last spring, right? In spring 2011. You know, their stock actually fell, right? If I'm not mistaken.
That happens pretty often. I mean, it's almost a joke that if Nintendo's stock prices fall after an announcement, that it's going to be a success at this point.
Right, right. And, I mean, I think we're almost seeing a bit of the tide turning with the Wii. But, I mean, I just saw a lot of... love them to death, but I saw a lot of my own friends being like, wow, E3 was boring, we didn't get any, you know, and I even said that, we didn't get any big reveals, but like I said, I also don't think that the gaming industry owes that to us to have a Zola game to announce.
Well, I think that this discussion is almost more salient for that point, because we have both been guilty, even in this discussion, of looking at E3 as a show for us. When, you know, realistically, when you step back and look at it more realistically, it's not a show for us. It's a show for the media and for retailers and for, you know, the industry. But,
yeah,
because we're all so passionate, and that's the thing that I feel makes gamers, you know, such an interesting and cool thing to be, we're really passionate. We want these things to be about us. We want to know all of the details of these products. We want to buy them. We're all basically fry holding our money in our fists.
Yes. We are.
You know, so...
But, I think on the other hand, I think as we've been reflecting on this year's E3, and as we kind of were discussing up to prior to recording this show, I just really think this year I kind of came to it from a viewpoint of, wow, I'm really glad that, you know, I got to see a little more of the Wii U. I didn't feel like, oh, I am owed a big game announcement, and I want to see this, this, and this, and they're personally letting me down. I'm just like, hey, you know, there's some stuff that I saw that if E3 wasn't around, I probably wouldn't have seen or heard about. So I think that's cool.
I agree. I think that we actually came to a really succinct point there. And at this point, I think it might be time to move on to everyone's favorite segment.
Let's
yours
get those
and
little
mine.
Children.
Bring them in here. Aren't they cute?
Sometimes. So, you were talking about how E3 kind of is a little bit more for the, you know, mainstream press these days. And, of course, to our Kotakus and our IGNs and Joysticks and all those, and Gadget, all of them over there. But, you know, by and large, it's kind of to show, hey, USA Today, or New York Times, or CNN. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, I just want to preface this with the fact that I don't mean anything negative towards this guy. His name's Larry Frum. Or Froome, I'm not sure. But, you know, just before I even go into the meat of the article that I'm about to talk about, which is our hands-on demo with the Wii U, and it's from CNN's, like, tech blog section. And, you know, just to kind of... a little disclaimer, you know, like we always say during our long talk, we don't mean anything... We don't bear any ill will towards these people as individuals. And there were some people in the comments saying, like, you deserve to be fired, you know, and just really, really hateful things, which I thought were unnecessary. But the fact of the matter is, these people are getting paid to write about these things. And the issue with this article is, and you have to bear in mind, the article that's linked on GameBuoy.org, has been revised like 3 times at this point, and he still hasn't gotten it right. And the problem is, and I'll actually try and point out some parts where the original article, as it was first published, totally messed up. It focuses a lot on the Wii U gamepad, but that's only because people corrected him in the comments, and then he edited it, and then he edited it again, and it still reads as if, and I honestly believe that poor Larry Frum thinks that the Wii U gamepad is the Wii U itself, because he added a little clarification before, like, it's basically straight up, he said that it's an accessory for the Nintendo Wii. It's not. And, you know, so he kind of added a little bit of language to the beginning of the article to clarify that. But then the problem is, you get down to things like this. He was talking about Luigi's Haunted Mansion, which is one of the Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Little Nintendo Land game. So he got to try that out. And he says, you know, to his credit, he talks about the asymmetric gameplay. But he says, the player with the Wii U is a ghost trying to track down and capture the four players using Wii controller. The player with the Wii U gamepad. The Wii U screen is large enough to make small shapes easy enough to distinguish the Wii U gamepad screen. In the second game, Donkey Kong's Crash Course, those buttons are used to manipulate a course you navigate by tilting the Wii U in the appropriate direction.
So it sounds to me like you're mostly upset at the low standards for a major publication, you know, posting an article on sort of the game industry.
Yeah, I want to point out two more things before I kind of get into more of my overall issues with it, and you kind of touched on that. Nintendo plans to release a wide range of games, from kid titles like Pikmin 3 to offerings for hardcore gamers like Zombie U and Mass Effect 3.
Now, I will say, I really take issue with the identification of Pikmin as a quote-unquote kid title.
And like, wow, way to reinforce, oh, Nintendo's for kids, even though that wasn't, I honestly do not think that that was his intention.
No, I don't think so either. I think he made the unfortunate assumption that because it has bright colors and isn't all red and brown, that it's a title for kids. When, in fact, I dare say, most of even the reasonably intelligent adults I know would be unable to do well at a Pikmin game.
I've not been very successful with Pikmin, but
yeah, well, I mean, they're cool games, but they require a lot of strategic thinking and planning, and they're definitely not for children.
Yeah. And one more little snippet. Overall, the Wii U is a solid hybrid of a souped-up Wii system and a handheld gaming device. I mean, I guess of all of the things that he wrote in here, that could be interpreted, but I don't know. I might just be being picky because I went to college to major in English. It obviously hasn't done me as well as Larry, it has for Larry Frum, presumably, because he's the one getting paid to be a journalist, and I'm not. But, I mean, it's not about that. I'm not saying that I would be a better game journalist than him or Stephen Totillo or any of the other guys we've ragged on during our Lotakus, but
no, but, you know, the only power that we have in this dialogue, so to speak, is to call them out and, you know, sort of be the Martin Luther and write out our 50 problems and say, hey, this is an issue. We'd like this to change.
And I think, you know, just coming to it from the standpoint of being a writer myself, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I understand that Larry Frum probably is not a gamer. I imagine maybe he's like a happily married father of two. Or
are you
whatever.
Creating a fictional life for this man in your
Yes, because
mindset.
I was not able to really find any information about him, so I'm pretty...
So you tried to e-stalk him.
I googled him. I googled Larry Frum. What? You know. But my point is that, you know, he probably does not know a whole lot about games. I mean, and maybe he does, and the article is just kind of representing him the wrong way.
But maybe the response to that is that CNN could get a game writer that knows how to write about
games.
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing. It's like, I'm just... You know, this isn't our place to criticize him as a person, but... And, you know, I don't know the circumstances behind the publishing of it. Maybe it was just really, really rushed, and...
Well, you know, it's a 24-hour news cycle these days.
That's true, but, you know, still, for something to go up on a site, and regardless of your feelings about CNN, I mean, you know, I don't really hold CNN in any high regard as far as world news, but...
I do. No, not really.
Just, the thing is that, you know, as a writer, the idea of publishing something without having the research be solid just kind of, I don't know, I can't really abide that, especially, you know, and I mean, I appreciate that, you know, for the soccer moms out there who might be reading CNN on their break at work or whatever, or, you know, but, I mean, it might get the point across enough, but, you know, it just kind of goes back to our whole... The whole reason we have this Waltaku segment, because, you know, these people are getting paid to report about these things, and, you know, obviously there was nothing that he reported about that was new, but, I mean, I wouldn't say that it was Nintendo who failed to convey anything. I just think it was poorly researched, and I think the fact that he got paid to write this poorly researched article... And then it got published on CNN and revised two or three times at this point. It's still not accurate. I can't really abide that. You know, Larry Frum, if you're out there listening, I bear no ill will against you. I hope that, you know, you and your wife and two children are living a happy life. But please. But please, next time, do your research. So, I mean, that's kind of my issue. So, you have any thoughts on that? Anything to add? You know, I know when we were talking about this, you thought maybe I was being a little too harsh on Larry Frum.
Well, you know, I guess I want to reiterate, I do think, to some degree, you're nitpicking. But at the same time, if we're going to make the argument that these shows are primarily for the media, and we are as gamers expected to rely on these people to be our eyes and ears as to what's going on in the industry, then we need them to be doing a little better. We need them to be properly researched and talking about things appropriately and as descriptive as possible as to what they are actually talking about.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of me being nitpicky and my issues with journalism at large, but I mean, it's just like, you know, get your facts right. That's really all I'm saying.
To me, it really speaks out to me, and to sort of what the point of this segment is. I mean, I get some sadistic glee out of calling people out, of course, but really, that's the only weapon we have. We can't just change the system by not, you know, standing up, reporting what we think is cool on this podcast, and then saying, hey, the news sources you go to, there's some problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we do our video game real talk thing, because, you know, we're trying to do what the journalism is not. So, let's get those kids back in here so they can do their bumper again. Yeah, go on, get out of here, go on.
Those little scamps.
Yeah, one of these days they're going to end up on a Where Are They Now?
And on that note, Where Are They Now? I think it is time to go.
Yeah, so any shout-outs this week?
You know, as always, I want to pay tribute to Orange Lounge Radio.
Orange Lounge Radio!
I want to pay tribute to The Last Horde House in Azeroth.
The best little Horde House in Azeroth.
Oh, what did I call them?
The Last Horde House.
Yeah, they're the last.
Well, if they were the last Horde House in Azeroth, they'd be doing pretty good business.
Right? Well, I mean, I guess they're the last in that, you know, no one even plays WoW anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of a ghost town.
You know, honestly, it's temporary. Diablo just came out, and, you know, there's an expansion on the horizon. I'll be coming back soon.
Yeah, we've got,
We also want to say thank you to Nerdgasm.
Yes, as always.
And back on the WoW tip, we of course have Syl and our friends at Girls Gone WoW.
Yeah, and they actually just joined the VOG network as well, along with Horde House and OLR, part of that new kind of media venture, so we're excited.
That's great, and you know, I love the idea of having these positive voices sort of in the games journalism field. Like, that's awesome. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, so go check out VOG. We'll have our links up on that website. What's that website again?
GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
You know, it's funny. You do that as a mnemonic device, because when you say something in a funny voice every time you say it, it starts to stick in your head. I used to have you say GameBuoy.org because I could never remember if it was a .net or a .org or what have you.
It is not BigBoobs.net.
Now, because of saying it in that funny voice, I know what our website is. I feel super good about that.
I'm a little embarrassed for you that you didn't know it right away, but...
STFU.
Good for you. So, anyways, it's been a pleasure, folks.
Please like us on Facebook. Interact with us.
Tweet at us.
We're not nearly such big of bitches as we come out as on this show. I certainly don't hate everyone. And really, dude... Yeah, fucking tweet us. I love Twitter so much. Yeah. It would deeply please me if you all would tweet us.
You know, it's 160 characters or less. It's not going to take too much of your time. We just would like to hear you... and we just like to hear from you. It doesn't even have to be about specifically our topic of the week.
Yeah, you could just be like, hey guys, I'd be okay with that.
You'd be like... Or, I mean, it could be about something totally... You know, like, hey, I was just playing Mass Effect 3. What's your favorite Mass Effect 3 class? We'll answer that, you know, so just say hi. We don't bite hard.
Or at all, you pervert.
I can't speak for you, but...
Oh, hell.
Anyway.
Okay, it's time to go.
It's time to go. I think we're going to go play some Four Swords Adventure, maybe, and,
So, everyone out there in Radioland, take care, keep gaming, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.